Praise the Lord. Amen. It's too quiet in here. I mean, you know, just because somebody quits talking can't mean you shouldn't praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. You know, I when Bob mentioned the cell phones, I started thinking about why is a phone called a cell? A lot of people are imprisoned by them. That's my way of thinking, but, right? You can't go anywhere unless that thing's stuck somewhere on you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're 1 week closer to the coming of Jesus, and he's evidently still looking for that one person that he wants to bring into the kingdom of God. So we'll be patient and trust him, and he knows what's going on in the world, and we're excited about that because God, like Lee said, is doing things in this world, in every nation right now. He's bringing them to exactly where he wants them to be. They're, like Jan Mark Halloway says, they're falling into place. They're falling into place. Amen? So how many brought your Bibles again today? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I like that. I like to see those hands go up like that. That's great. Wow. So today I'm going to be speaking on uprooting bitter roots. Uprooting bitter roots. And I'll be in the book of Hebrew chapter 12 and the book of James chapter 3 and 4 today if you want to get prepare and go to that area of your Bibles. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we're excited about serving you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord. We ask that your presence here this morning by your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us, anoint the congregation, anoint me as I share the word of God. Let us all grow and be challenged by your word today, Lord. Let it change us to be more like Jesus, Father. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us in this nation, in this country, where we still have freedom to come together and to fellowship and to worship you, Lord. Many places do not have that afforded them. In China right now, Lord, we hear where our brothers and sisters are being martyred for the cause of Christ and put in prisons and tortured, Father, if they say they're Christians. And we thank you that you allowed us to be born in a nation where we can come together, Lord, and to worship and to praise you in freedom. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to keep America free, Lord, that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, that this nation will be a nation that will send forth the gospel around the world as well as within the borders of this great nation. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Always carry some of these with you. Amen? Tracts. We need to evangelize. We need to tell people about Jesus while we have a chance. The days are getting darker and darker. There may be a time when we will not be able to do it. And every opportunity you have to leave a tract, I don't care if it's in the bathroom, in the restaurant, wherever it is, leave something to tell somebody about Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, from my experience, I had it upside down, didn't I? From my experience with tracts, I've seen people come to Jesus. That literally opened them up. They may have been angry when they opened them up, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of their heart. And never take for granted, because this little piece of paper, papers here, have the gospel in it. And God's word will never return void. Once they read it, the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts and draw them in. And so take every opportunity you have to share the gospel. Amen? And we do have some tracts back at the front when you walk in the church in the foyer there. Feel free to take some if you want. But pass them out. They do no good sitting there. You know, we can use them to start campfires where they're at right now. We got to hand them out. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Uprooting bitter roots. Hebrews 12 addresses three specific life goals to consider as individuals and as a church family. And it is my hope that they will guide the direction of our church family throughout the year. That's my hope. Number one, promote healing among the body and pursue peace with all men and pursue purity through sanctification. And that's done through the word of God. We need to pursue that people. Amen. I was listening to a program again yesterday on the judgment seat of Christ, and it's coming fast. Charles Stanley, I think, was one of the speakers, and I thought it was very interesting because he talked about, look at the clock. Every second that ticks by is 1 second closer to our destination. 1 second closer. You're 1 second closer now. To the judgment seat of Christ, we are all born, and we have a day and an hour, and God knows the last breath that we will take, and we will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I just want to say this quickly, because that isn't what I'm going to speak on today, but you don't want to be at the great white throne. You don't want to be there, because I had a brother one time say, that he and his son one day will stand at the great white throne. And Christians do not. Christians will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged at that point. And it's coming. It's coming. The world is wrapping up and Jesus is coming and we need to be in preparation. How many want to emulate Jesus? Praise the Lord. That's a good turnout here. There's a few you didn't raise your hand. I don't know if you just said he's not going to make me do it, or I don't care, or what. But I tell you what, we should all have our hands up, shouldn't we? Praise the Lord. So God instructs every born-again follower of Christ. I didn't say follower of Christ. I said every born-again follower of Christ to passionately and continually promote and pursue healing and peace and purity. And the three things listed in the following passage are three top issues that fracture families, crack communities, rip relationships, and they split churches. That's what it does. So follow with me in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 I'll start out with here. It says, wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down in feeble knees is what that's speaking about when it's talking about chastisement. It's talking about if you read the previous verses. But we're not to take it because God loves us when he chastises us. Verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That's scary, isn't it? Though he sought it carefully with tears. He got to the point where he could see he was losing his inheritance and now things were changing, but not through repentance. But we need to be careful of that. Hebrews pinpoints three major hindrances to spiritual growth. A failure to appropriate God's empowering grace. A failure to forgive, resulting in bitter root, which defiles and poisons all those around. And a failure to pursue eternal values. You say, Pastor, why do you want to preach on bitterness today? We're such a loving church. Well, we can be a loving church, but I tell you what, in every church across America, there's people that are holding bitterness within the depth of their heart. There is. In the church, we're holding bitterness. And top three life struggles are pride, bitterness, and temporal values. God instructs every believer to watch out one for another. We're to watch out one for another. If we see someone going astray or going through issues, we need to come alongside, don't we? That's what the Word calls us to do. We find fewer and fewer models of unity in the church today, in connection. People used to live in communities that looked out from, especially if you're from a small town, like we were raised too. They watched out for each other's back in small communities, in small churches. They protected their property and guarded the neighborhood children. Amen. Everybody knew what was going on. They shared tragedies and genuine cared about each other, truly cared about each other's. Remember, you know, in a small community, if somebody died, the neighbors would all bring food over. They would look for ways to help, to encourage, and even within the body of Christ. But you don't see as much of that today. And I'm sure it's going on. I have no doubt about that. But not as much as we used to at one time. It says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And in Hebrews 10:24, and it said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. That's what the Lord is telling us to do. More than ever, we need born-again followers of Christ to become that community. And I keep saying born again because I don't like using just followers of Christ. There's many people who are followers like there were in Scripture too, but many of them turned away and turned away from Christ. We need to be born again Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ. See, the Lord continually urges us to pursue Him and to pursue a healthy relationship with all our Christian brothers and sisters. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, God instructs every believer to watch out one for another. And in Galatians 6:2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens as so fulfill the law of Christ. You see how the Lord is always talking about you and I lifting each other's up and helping and coming alongside, watching out for each other's? Not condemning, not criticizing, not tearing down, but we're always everywhere of looking to help our brothers and sisters in Christ where we can. See, we are to guard against bitter roots in the body of Christ. We're to guard against that. Guard against falling short of God's enabling grace and guard against those bitter roots that can be in there. They can be in there. Again, in Hebrews 12, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. See, bitterness is a characteristic of the ungodly, but should never characterize a Christian. Amen? Come on. Amen? Amen? It should never characterize a Christian, bitterness. I believe the root of bitterness runs rampant again, like I said earlier in the church today. For the most part, it goes unaddressed because it's something that some people think they can hide. It's gravity in the body of Christ, the church, and it's underestimated how much there is. It has destroyed more lives and more churches than probably any other single issue within the church, and that's through bitterness. Although I'm not a mental health expert, amen? I read somewhere where someone said that the two top reasons why people become institutionalized have to do with bitterness or guilt. Bitterness or guilt. Guilt is the failure to receive forgiveness and blessings. And bitterness is the failure to reciprocate, meaning give forgiveness and blessings. Bitterness. The character of bitterness. The definition here, bitterness describes the intentional cultivation of negative thoughts and emotions towards someone I hold responsible for an actual or perceived offense intentionally or unintentionally inflicted upon me or someone I care about. I'm going to read that once more. Bitterness describes the intentional cultivation of negative thoughts and emotions towards someone I hold responsible for an actual or perceived offense intentionally or unintentionally inflicted upon me or someone I care about. I don't know about you, but I as I'm already starting into my message, I just sense the Holy Spirit to show me that there truly is people sitting in churches with bitterness, the root of bitterness. It's there. The neighbor's dog makes regular deposits in my front yard. The bitterness is not toward the dog because dogs do what do. A little playing words there. I like playing words once in a while, but you know something? We direct our negative thoughts and emotions toward the dog's owner, who fails to properly restrain his dog from doing business on my lawn. Anybody else been there? A church member failed to acknowledge me at the grocery store or anywhere else. In this case, it was not a direct hurtful action, but the failure to respond to my presence. And this may have been an actual or perceived neglect. Regardless, I choose to cultivate negative thoughts and emotions toward that individual. I choose that. Did you hear that? I choose that. The core of bitterness is negative thoughts and emotions toward a person which I choose to embrace and cultivate. Bitterness is a soul problem. It is a response to life that comes about as a result of something going on within me. I'm talking about me. Bitterness is always directed toward a person. It's always directed toward a person. We don't hold bitterness toward our car for having a flat tire. Do we? No. We don't cultivate bitterness toward the weather. We don't do that. We focus our bitterness and our negative thoughts and our emotions toward the person that we perceived caused an injury of some kind in our life. That's who we hold bitterness toward. The offense may have to do with a hurtful action or a failure to act according to our expectations. It may be a response to an attack or a response to neglect. That response may be the cultivation of negative thoughts and emotions of anger and ill will and rejection, avoidance, or blame, which eventually manifests in negative words or actions on my part. See, I will direct my negative thoughts and emotions toward other people or even myself and maybe even sometimes God. People do that. So we have a description. Offenses do not cause bitterness any more than wounds cause infection. Did you hear that? Offenses do not cause bitterness any more than wounds cause infection. Infection comes from the failure to properly attend the wound. Bitterness results from failure to properly respond to offenses. Everyone gets offended. Amen? Everyone does. Not everyone becomes bitter. Clearly, offenses do not cause bitterness. We choose to cultivate bitterness if we have it within ourselves. I can't control what happens to me, but I can control what happens in me. Amen? Yes. I cannot control how others act toward me, but I can control how I react toward them. There will be no excuses on Judgment Day. It's easy when somebody treats us not quite right and we are going to say, if that's the way they're going to treat me, that's the way I'm going to treat them. That's not what God tells us to do. Even though I know how easy that is to do. I'm preaching to me now. You see these thumbs and these fingers? I know how easy that is to do, but God tells us to be different. Disappointments and offenses by people, they're unavoidable in this life. They're unavoidable. They're going to happen. We need to expect them. Bitterness is negative reaction to the instrument that caused the wound, but will not prevent infection of the wound. We think we will find healing for our wounds by demanding something from or punishing the one who caused the offense. If they would just, I would feel better. I wouldn't be bitter anymore. I'd feel better if they hurt like me. If they hurt like me, I'd feel so much better. But we don't. But that's how we think. And that's when we have a bitter root within inside. Bitterness is an attempt to either demand repayment or exact punishment on the perceived offender. We think the cultivation of this negative feeling will somehow cause the offender to do something that will heal my hurt within myself. And the reality is that cultivation of bitter roots in my soul has far greater consequences for me than it will ever have on the offender. Isn't that true? When we carry bitterness in our hearts, it will affect us more than the person we're bitter at. I want the offender to pay me back and to hurt like I hurt. That's our natural thing when we have bitterness. The opposite of bitterness is love. The opposite of bitterness is love. Love dismisses debt and imparts favor to the perceived offender. What did Jesus do on the cross when they were persecuting him and ridiculing him and shouting toward him and crucify him and hating him and the depth of hatred coming out of their hearts and the bitterness toward Jesus? Jesus could have hung on that cross full of bitterness. He said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And many times the enemy will use people to come into our life. He will use people to do that. And we need to realize that and realize that we need to emulate Jesus when that happens. I want to release the offender. It says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? We're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? I still think that is a real nice statement. What would Jesus do? I got to remind myself of that every single day when events come into my life. What would Jesus do right now? I don't need a bracelet on my wrist to remind me to do that. The Holy Spirit helps me to remind myself, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? What would Jesus do after this person hurt me, ridiculed me? Well, when we read the word, it helps us to know what Jesus would do. He said, forgive. Pray for those who persecute you. Our growth should be in both doctrine and practice, and each being inadequate by itself. We need to do both. And I'm here to tell you today, people, that the issue of bitterness has to do with me, not with anyone else. With me, not with anybody else. I'm not pointing fingers on anybody, but it has to do with me. I'm preaching to me, like I said earlier. Bitterness only grows in the soil of selfishness and self-centeredness. And we are responsible for the active cultivation of a healthy soul where we can receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to continue to renew our minds. It says in Hosea 10:12, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground," meaning cultivate your ground, "for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." We're to break up that fallow ground and to seek righteousness. And we are responsible to eradicate bitter roots that choke the truth. It's our responsibility to eradicate bitter roots within ourselves. With the help of the Lord, we can do that. And we are responsible to be sure that our thinking, our feelings, and our choosing are directed and protected by the truth of the Word of God and daily surrender to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We are responsible for a healthy immune system that prevents the infection of bitterness from ever taking root in our soul. We can prevent that from happening when we live within the Word of God and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak and to live through us. We can prevent that bitterness because I tell you, it's always ready to grow, to begin when people come against you that you may not agree with or they may not agree with you. Characteristics. Listen to Hebrews 12:15 again, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, bitterness is the whole body of Christ church issue, not just one person. Everybody is to look out for another, to watch each other's back. I'm going to keep saying that. Bitterness is distasteful and it's poisonous. Scripture calls it a bitter root, something that's growing within inside. It brings no pleasure, it's unattractive, and it causes repulsion. The word bitter has to do with something that is pungent, acidic, piercing, sharp, bitter, biting. Hebrews called it, again, a root. A root. This indicates that bitterness begins unseen as something deep within our soul. It's within us. That's why Scripture teaches us to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves. Are you holding aught against someone? Bitterness against someone? Because it's a root that's growing within inside when you've been hurt. It is a plant incubated over time. It draws energy underground if it continually feeds on negative thoughts and emotions. It thrives in a particular soil in the soul. A person that has a root of bitterness only sees someone always in a negative view, hears things only in a negative sound. When they have bitterness growing within inside of them, they can never ever seem like they can have that joy and that peace and that forgiveness, because they're always thinking it's toward them. See, bitterness eventually surfaces. Did you know that? It will. Many times I can see people that are bitter too. If you've been out and around people and everything and how they respond to you and talk to you, you can see that this person has got a really bitter spirit. That means it's springing up. But see, it's going to surface, and that's why Hebrews says springing up. All of a sudden, boom, something triggers it, and it springs up, and that bitterness comes out. It's a primary verb, probably original to puff or blow, to swell up, to germinate or grow, sprout, produce, literal or figurative, spring up. That's what it'll do. Bitterness cannot remain underground. It cannot. You cannot go through your life and think you're going to keep it underground and hide it from anybody. It will eventually come to surface. And as long as there is a root, there will be fruit. As long as there is a root, there will be fruit in your life. Dealing with bitterness must extend beyond managing it, its occasional outbreak. We must eradicate its very root within us. It's got to be eradicated, that bitterness that's in there. And maybe it's something from your past, many years ago, even as a young person growing up or whatever, and you held some bitterness in your heart towards someone because of whatever, and you've never ever allowed that root to be taken out. And something else can set it. It will spring up. It will spring up. Dealing with bitterness must extend beyond managing it in its occasional outbreak. We must eradicate the root. We got to get rid of it. We often try to control our anger and our response and attitudes toward people, don't we? We try to control that. But that bitterness root, that root inside of us, that is like trying to continually cut off the dandelions that break the surface. How many have ever mowed your grass and you had all those beautiful little dandelion weeds in your yard? And you'd mow, and you'd go through them and you cut them all off and it looks so pretty, your yard's nice and dandelion free. You didn't kill that dandelion. You didn't deal with the problem. You didn't kill the root of that weed. You just took the surface off for now, but it's going to eventually grow back. That's what bitterness does. When we try to control our anger and our bitterness, we, for a moment's time, seems like it's gone. Something will happen, we'll feel good about it, but we never address the root of our bitterness. The only effective way to eliminate the noxious weed is to eradicate its poisonous root. See, bitterness entangles us. Again, this passage, because I think it's so, so good that the Lord put in here. Looking diligently. Looking diligently, I like that, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, the word for trouble means to crowd within, annoy, vex, harass, mob. And the idea is that bitterness pushes out the good things in our heart and takes over our life. That's what it does. It pushes out the good things. And we don't even know it happens sometimes because it's so gradual. we become a bitter person and not even realizing it sometimes. Bitter roots destroy us from the inside out. It's been said that a rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry it will bite itself. I'm glad about that. See, listen. Bitterness is odorless. It's colorless. It's tasteless poison that you administer to yourself and it kills you. It ties us all up inside in knots. It paralyzes us in our other areas of our lives. And we think we're pushing or punishing the offender when in reality we are destroying ourselves when we hold on to the root of bitterness. God doesn't want that. We sang the song this morning. I don't know the title, what it was, but we're free, we're free. What a way to be able to sing, huh? To shout, I'm free. But if you have a root of bitterness, you sit in a church and you never quite get the joy, you never get the release of worshiping a mighty God because you're holding on to a root of bitterness within yourself. God instructs us to address paralysis within the church among the body of believers. Spiritual paralysis comes from a failure to appropriate God's grace. Spiritual paralysis comes from the cultivation of bitter roots in the soul. And bitterness, as the scripture says in Hebrews, defiles others. Bitterness spreads wit in the body of Christ. It spreads. A bitter person is not content to keep his or negative thoughts and emotions to themselves, are they? I find myself, if I'm bitter and I'm angry, I want to share it with somebody else. I want to tell somebody else. I want to let them know that I was hurt. And I spread it. And who wants to hang around a bitter person? Who wants to hang around a person that's bitter all the time? Bitterness is probably the number one peace buster that we have. Listen to this. The kudo plant is a perfect picture of the pervasiveness of bitterness. It was first introduced in America from Japan in 1876. It was first used as an ornamental shade plant and later to control soil erosion. Because of its rapid growth, by 1948, it was established that the kudzu was growing on 500,000 acres in the southeast. The plant can grow up to 1 foot per day and up to 100 feet in a single growing season. It has the ability to choke out native plants and completely take over anything in its path. One source estimates it costs that $500 million a year to control the spread of the kudu. It's a lot of money, too. Kudu plants, it spreads both by its massive root system, which could lie dormant for years. Did you hear that? For years, under the ground before it germinates and sprouts new root. The root crown ranges in size from a pea size to a size of a basketball and can be found as deep as 12 feet underground. The only effective way of eradication is to completely destroy the root crown, which may sprout as many as 30 root systems. Any piece of the root left in the ground will sprout new roots. That's pretty good comparison, isn't it, to the root of bitterness. That's why God addressed it in his word and he wanted us to speak about it. Because in many people sitting within churches, even like this one, somebody has a root of bitterness that is in there and the root has got to be dealt with. The cause of bitterness, the cause pinpointed. How is that two people suffering the same offense respond so differently than somebody else? One becomes bitter, the other grows from it and becomes better. One becomes paralyzed by it, the other becomes empowered by it. It has to do with something in the soul. Bitterness thrives in the sour soil of a self-centered soul. It is the seedbed for disorder and every evil thing in the church that could be in the church. the bitterness can only take root and survive in a sour soul. As we said before, it has nothing to do with the nature or the size of the offense. In one, the soul was susceptible to infection. In the other, the soul's immune system enabled them to sustain the wound and heal quickly from it. There may be scars, but no infection. James addressed the underground soul issue that breed bitterness and break out in destructive behavior, and that's through prejudice, destructive tongue, failure to care for others, and mistreatment of others. It says in James chapter 3, verses 13 and 16, "Who is a wise man and endued with this knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." We need to watch out for each other's. James 4, verses 1 and 3. "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." They're asking for the wrong reasons. James diagnoses two faulty thought patterns underlying all conflict and bitterness. Bitterness, or bitter jealousy, meaning I deserve better. Selfish ambition. I'm going to do anything it takes to what I deserve. James says that this way of thinking and living comes from this world, from the flesh, and from the demonic suggestions. Much of what shaped our thinking was picked up along the way. Maybe it was the way our parents thought. We don't know. Maybe it was. Possibly it's what we learned from our peers, those in school or at work and those around us. I don't know. But there is a way of thinking and living that comes from God that produces unity, not chaos. That's why we need to be in the Word. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." Isn't this awesome? That's why we need to take God's advice. It's first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I like God's way. God's way is fun. God's way is freedom. And then it says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That root is gone out. That bitterness goes when you do it God's way. And we will either live by a divine perspective energized by the Holy Spirit, or we will live by a worldly perspective energized by the flesh or demonic forces that are trying to influence us. What feeds bitterness and broken relationships in the body of Christ? It's bitterness, bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition that feeds bitterness. I believe James answered that question as well. James called it pride and unbelief. The same pride that prevents me from approaching the throne of grace to find grace to help me in the time of need is the same pride that becomes the soil for a root of bitterness to grow. It's pride within us, people. It's pride that feeds that bitterness. It's my way or the highway. It's the way I do it. Pride demands that life revolves around me, my comfort, my dreams, and my ambitions, my sense of well-being, my pleasure, and my feelings, my way. Just like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. The young people say, "Who in the world is Frank Sinatra?" See, it's all about me. It's all about me. My way or the highway, I am right, you're wrong. Pride is the core of all sin. That's what pride does. It places you number one in your life. Pride refuses to entrust my life to the Father's loving care, and pride refuses to offer my life for the Father's eternal purpose. God created us for unity, and pride destroys unity. James 4:6, but he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I want to be humble. I want God's grace. I love God's grace. I want to walk in God's grace. And who humbles you? Who humbles you? Yell it out. Who humbles you? You think this is a trick question, don't you? People just don't trust me the way I think they should. We're to humble ourselves. That's what Scripture teaches. Humble yourself. We need to do it. I'd rather me do it than have God have to do it. But God says, humble yourself. And God resists the proud. Therefore, God must resist the proud, but he promises supernatural enabling grace to the humble. When we're humble before him, he'll give us the strength to work and to get rid of that root of bitterness within us. Pride energizes the bitter jealousy and selfish ambition that becomes the perfect soil for the cultivation of bitterness within our life. In some plants, like acidic soil, bitterness thrives in acid soil of negative thinking. Bitterness is my reaction when the world doesn't revolve around me. Bitterness is my reaction when I'm no longer the focus of attention. Bitterness is my reaction when I don't get what I want. Again, the central cause of bitterness is pride. Until I deal with pride, I will never eradicate bitterness within my soul. And every offense, every wound of life will become infected to the point where it not only vexes me, but will defile all of those around me. I will become a bitter person. And some people have, and they don't even realize it because they're so prideful in themselves. In conclusion, everybody waits for that word. I shouldn't have never put that word in there, but I see what it's, I guess that's what it's there for. I don't know. See, I will become the chief guard of the debtor's prison in which I've incarcerated all those who have offended me until they fully repay or I feel their punishment is complete. Jesus promised in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I thought about that when Sandra said they're going to the Coon Rapids Dam there and the water that flows down, and scripture teaches out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what we're not. We don't want the root of bitterness coming out of us, out of our mouth and hurting and destroying ourselves or anyone around us. But we need to learn that when we speak, we need to think on things of good report as the scriptures teach, things that are pure, true, honest, good, right? That's what we do when the enemy comes in and wants you to think of negative things. Do what God says. Think on these things. Not only for a refreshment for ourselves, but the refreshment for others. When we allow the pollution of pride and self-ambition and jealousy and bitterness in our soul, the very waters that God intended to refresh those around us, it becomes poison to them. And what we have left lodged in our soul that keeps us from being refreshment to others. That's what bitterness does, people. Let's all stand, and as we come to the end here, and I've struggled with bitterness in my life. I'm standing in front and looking at you and confessing my sin to you, which it can be a sin in how you treat people and how you do things. And with every head bowed, I just like to simply ask, because this is a time when the Holy Spirit deals. That's why we do this at the end of a service, and we ask questions, because this is where the Holy Spirit is working and speaking into your heart. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I believe I got a root of bitterness in me, just lift up your hand and God will see that. I've had a root of bitterness living in me, and I want to get it out of me. God sees those hands, and the Holy Spirit knows who you are. And if you're not lifting your hand, you're rebelling against the Lord, and you won't gain by that. But if you want to get rid of that root, just put your hand up with me. My hand is staying up. I want the Holy Spirit. I want everything God has got for me. And I'm not going to let anybody in here or anybody else stop me through my personal pride. But I want God to heal me in my life in every area. God sees all these hands. I want everybody with your hand up just to come forward up here with me. There's no reason why I have to be up here by myself. Come on. Let's let the Holy Spirit move at the altar this morning. Did you know bitterness shows on people's faces too? We're going to pray this morning at this altar. And this is where I believe God will literally do a work in your life. And if you're not up here yet, and you should be, I want you to walk forward and come up here and stand with us, because I truly believe God's word will never return void, and it will accomplish what it's called to do. And I'm going to ask people to pray with me up here, and you can pray with me where you're sitting, and just put your hands toward the people here too, because we want what God wants in our lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, I come before you and I tell you, I've been hurt. I've been ridiculed. I've been made fun of. And there's times in my life and I get so angry and I got bitterness toward the people or the person that seems to mock me. And Lord, I've had thoughts of wanting to get even and hoping something bad would happen to maybe them. But I don't want to live my life like that. I would ask you right now, Lord, through your Holy Spirit that lives within us, that you will begin to remove that root of bitterness in the depth of my soul and to take it away. And Lord, I would ask that you would replace it with the peace and the joy and the freedom of your Holy Spirit, that when someone comes against me and says hurtful things, does hurtful things, Lord, that you would help me through your Holy Spirit to reciprocate with forgiveness and help me to be like Jesus. Help me to see him the way Jesus does. And help me to realize through my reciprocating forgiveness back to them that it will change their heart and change my heart as well to glorify you. And so, Lord, I just release my life to you right now and in every area. And ask you will continue to work within my soul. And help me to forgive that person or persons right now that come into my mind. And maybe that person's even dead. But Lord, we can still say I forgive them because you ask us to, and you will do the work. So Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you that you put that in your word. Lord, we thank you that you showed us that we are capable of having a root of bitterness that can destroy ourselves and it can destroy all those around us. And Lord, we would ask and right now and submit ourselves to you in order to prevent from having any root of bitterness within us, but that we would have the joy of the Lord within our lives. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. Amy, let's sing a worship song that you have there to the Lord before we dismiss. Hallelujah.
I've heard a thousand stories of what.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
But I've heard the tender whisper of love.
Now, hallelujah, Jesus.
In the dead of night, you tell me.
Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, da, 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 da. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we come to you and thank you again and worship you and praise you. Lord, we as a remnant church in these end times come before you and are so thankful for your written word. But Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that was here this morning and lives within us. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to do a work in our lives. In every home that's represented here, Lord, let your Holy Spirit again move supernaturally. Help us to become like Jesus in the hour that we live, Father. Help us always to revert to your word, Lord, when we question anything within our lives, Father. Help us to be aware. Help us to be aware of your soon return, that we are literally making preparation in every area of our life, being ready for the return of you, Lord, to this earth to receive us through the rapture. We ask that you help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. And Lord, touch every home. Bring healing into every home. Bring joy into every home. Bring help into every home, that whatever that help needs to be, Lord, financial, spiritual, mental, physical, whatever it is, Lord. We put our trust in you, Lord, in all things. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, bless you. Glad you got to see me again today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell somebody Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. All right.